Our text for this morning comes from John's Gospel, especially verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. So far the text. You may be seated. Dear saints, in our Sunday morning Bible study recently, we've spent a lot of time talking about the glory of God. For example, in Exodus 33, Moses is seeking reassurance from the Lord. He wants to know that the Lord is present with him and present with his people. So he asks God, "Show me your glory." Moses sees what a challenge it is to lead such a people. They are rebellious and stiff-necked. And so he hopes that seeing God's glory will bring some reassurance of God's continued favor with him and the people. But God instead tells Moses, "I will make all my goodness pass before you." Of course, goodness isn't quite the same as glory. We delight in seeing the goodness of the Lord, to be sure. We know God is good. We know that God has revealed his name to us. He has shown us mercy and compassion. We know that we are people called by his name, called in the water of baptism. The Lord has indeed been good to us. These are great gifts, and we rejoice in the goodness of the Lord, but they are not quite what we think of as his glory. The Lord then tells Moses that he cannot see his glorious face because he would not survive such an encounter. The Lord will show him the back of his glory. Then in our Old Testament reading this morning, just a few chapters later, the Israelites have completed the building of the tabernacle according to God's instruction, and we are told the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of the Lord, that visible manifestation of God's presence, appeared as a cloud in the tabernacle by day, and as fire by night. Did you notice that Moses couldn't go in because the glory of the Lord was there? It would be too much for a sinful person to bear. And the glory of the Lord led the people of Israel. Where the glory of the Lord went, they followed. But even that, as marvelous as it must have been to behold, was not yet the fullness of God's glory. Brings us to our gospel reading. Last night we reflected on the humanity of Jesus as we read from Luke chapter 2. And today we read and John focuses us on the divinity of Jesus. Jesus as the eternal Son of God. He is the light that shines in the darkness. He is the bringer of life. All things were made through him. He is the eternal Word of God, and that Word is indeed God himself. Maybe this is the sort of glory that Moses was hoping to see, that he wanted to see this full picture of God's awesomeness and his divine nature. But what is somewhat striking is what John says in verse 14. We have seen his glory. We, of course, being John, the other disciples. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John is saying he has seen it. This eternal, unknowable God has put on flesh, the only Son from the Father, and in Jesus, John has seen the glory of God. How is that? We want to explore what it is exactly that John sees in Jesus. The shepherds saw the glory of the angels. Mary saw the glory of the angel Gabriel as he announced the birth of Jesus to her. Even Joseph saw in a dream the angel of the Lord. But John says he has seen in Jesus, in this human being, the glory of God. How so? Our human minds immediately start churning, and usually they're drawn to our understanding of glory. those supernatural things that Jesus did. Consider the miracles, turning water into wine, calming the storms, healing the sick, feeding the 5,000. Glorious indeed. Or we might be drawn to the baptism of Jesus, where the heavens opened, the Spirit came down upon Jesus as a dove, and the voice of the Father was heard from heaven. Or the transfiguration, which John witnessed firsthand, when the face of Jesus shone like the sun and his clothes were dazzling white, and the Father was again heard speaking, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." These are glorious sights and sounds. They are out of this world, maybe even a bit terrifying. I think we sometimes try to extend that understanding of God's glory into our own lives. Look around at creation. It has a certain glory. Beautiful beach, Grand Canyon, snow-capped mountains, glorious. And miracles happen today. Doctors will tell someone they have a terminal disease and the person lives for years. A mother with child will be told her child will be born with some terrible birth defects and the child is fine. Or think about natural disasters. A tornado or even a forest fire may seemingly jump over one person's house, sparing it, while there's devastation all around. Or consider the marvels of our world. We can fly. We can talk to people halfway across the world, and it sounds like they're right next door. We have satellites orbiting space. We've walked on the moon. These are glorious accomplishments, to be sure, and as Christians, we do see God's hand at work in them, giving to mankind skills and talents and insight. But is this the glory of God we should be looking for? Back to our Old Testament reading. The glory of God was in the tabernacle. It was a glorious structure in its own right, made of the finest materials known to man at the time, even made more glorious by the presence of God. And God guided his people through that glory. They knew where God wanted them to go and when by leading them visibly. John tells us that God became flesh and tabernacled among us. That's the word translated as dwelt in our translation, but the word in Greek is actually the same word as tabernacle. God tabernacled among us in flesh. The glory of the Lord has now moved. It has moved away from the tabernacle, away from the temple, and into, of all things, a human body. Now to us that seems like a step down, right? But not to God. For humanity was God's greatest creation. And he shows forth that glory by becoming one of us. The glory of the lightning, the pillars of cloud, and the fire, and the whirlwinds, that is a lesser glory than these human bodies. Isn't that something? And it is in that body, the body of Jesus, that God fully reveals his character to us. Indeed, his divine nature was concealed, was hidden in that body, because people could look at the face of Jesus and not be consumed. Yet there is in Jesus no fuller revelation of God's glory this side of heaven. He is full of grace. He is truth. He is the radiance of the divine glory, of the glory of God, the exact imprint of his nature. As Jesus told Philip, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." If you want to know what God is like, don't look inside here. Don't look at your experiences or your feelings. Don't even look to the creation, but to the Creator. Don't rely on your reason, but look to Jesus, revealed in Scripture. That is where you will find the glory of God. "We have seen his glory," says John. John was at the crucifixion. In fact, Jesus speaks to him directly from the cross. To our way of thinking, the cross is the most inglorious thing we could possibly imagine. But there, God's extreme love for us is on full display. How much did God love us? How much did we need his mercy? So much that he was born for us, lived among us, died a sinner's death in a body. That's how much. What a glorious thing. The cross is the Lord's greatest victory, greater than Pharaoh with the plagues. For from the cross, the devil was vanquished, your sin was atoned for, and your death was made but the gateway into eternal life. As the old hymn goes, "In the cross of Christ I glory." If God's glory is the visible manifestation of his character, we see that character there on Calvary. His glory is that he loves us. His glory is to forgive the sins of the penitent. He is full of grace and truth. And like Moses, we currently really only get a glimpse of God's glory from behind. If we look backwards in time, if you will, we see the mercy of the cross. We see his victory over death that first Easter. We see his kingship as he ascends into heaven. We see these glories by faith, on account of the witness of the apostles. And we see his work in our own lives as we look back. We see the mercy that he has shown us. We see his glory. And Jesus leads us, as he led the people of Israel through the wilderness in the pillar of cloud and fire. We see that he is the one who shepherds us through this wilderness to our eternal home. He leads us through the waters of holy baptism into his kingdom. He sustains us with the comfort of his word. He continually forgives our sins in the words of the absolution. He feeds us out here in the desert with his body and his blood. Seemingly ordinary things, yet these are the Lord's doing, and they are marvelous in our eyes. Glorious, you might say. Thanks be to God for gifting us his Son, born of woman, begotten of the Father, the glory of God for our salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.